You're listening to SBS On The Money with Ricardo Gonçalves.
Hi everyone, it's your daily 10-minute business and finance news wrap for this Monday, the 28th of March 2022. Later, do investors care about the federal budget? We'll find out. But someone or a group of people that probably do are motorists, because there is talk of some relief for motorists in the federal budget. We've seen petrol prices at record highs recently. For more, I spoke earlier with Craig James. He is the chief economist at CommSec. Craig, as we head into the budget, addressing the rising cost of living will be a key issue for the government. And when it comes to petrol, can you explain just how much of a family budget fuel costs takes up and how it has changed recently?
What we've estimated is the average household, the average family, is forking out almost $300 a month on filling up the car with petrol. And in a very short space of time, we've seen a very significant increase. Since the start of this year, the average increase has been something right like $75 a month. And that takes away a lot of spending from other things that people could be, you know, putting their money onto.
So why is the rising cost of fuel such a problem? Does it really hinder growth and thus consumer spending? Because doesn't the consumer have a lot of savings at the moment?
Well, when you think about the average purchases that you make over the week, most people would say, well, it's food, isn't it? Food, you know, so the biggest item, you know, so in your household budget. Well, the biggest single purchase is actually filling up the car with petrol. Food, there's different items in your shopping trolley, but in terms of petrol, that's just one item that, you know, so if you're filling up your car with petrol, you could be paying $70, $80, you know, so $90. So it has a very substantial component, you know, sort of in terms of people's costs. And if those dollars, you know, sort of being spent at the fuel pump, they're less likely to be spent elsewhere around the economy.
Why are we seeing the cost of fuel rise?
Well, as is always the case, it's a question of supply and demand. Supply, there's a number of countries around the world that are blocking the supply of Russian oil at the moment. And there's speculation that the Europeans could go down the same sort of route. So that actual effect, as well as the expected effect, is pushing up the price of fuel. On the other side of the equation, more and more people are getting back to normal after COVID. And indeed, more people are driving themselves rather than going through public transport. So demand for fuel is up, supply is down, and as a result, prices are rising substantially.
Now, there seems to be a talk of relief for motorists in tomorrow's budget in the form of a reduction in the fuel excise. What do you make of it?
Well, we would have thought that the better way of providing relief for individuals is through a cash handout rather than through the excise. Now, the speculation is 10 or 20 cents a litre will be, you know, to cut off the fuel excise for a short period of time, something like in the order of 6 months. But you could have a situation where you get an acceleration of the war in the Ukraine, you get escalation of the tensions, and the price for Brent and NYMEX could go up $10, $20, $30 a barrel, which means 10, 20 or 30 cents extra that we're paying at the petrol pump. Probably the better way is to give people a cash handout, say $250 or $300, and allow people to decide whether to put that into the spending for the cost of fuel or spending it elsewhere in the economy.
That's interesting though, because inflation is an issue across the board, not just when it comes to petrol. So what are the implications?
Well, the implication is that if you're spending more at the petrol pump, that you have got less likely that you're going to be spending elsewhere. The other thing to take into consideration is in terms of food, particularly fresh food, things like fruit and vegetables, meat, seafood, they have a high transport component because they've got to be restocked on the shelves at supermarkets on basically a daily basis. The transport costs are going up, and that will affect, you know, so the cost of a whole range of different items, as I say, food, but it would probably be much more substantial than that spreading across the board. So we have got inflationary pressures. A lot of that does stem from the price of petrol, whether in a real sense or in terms of the knock-on effect in terms of transport.
Craig James there, the chief economist at CommSec. Now to the Australian share market, which rose 0.1%, 200 at 7,412. For more, I spoke earlier with James Rosenberg from ELNC Value.
Ricardo, markets currently up a little bit over 20 points. There were positive offshore leads, which did help. But really, the big story is the resources sector, which continues to be very strong on the back of high commodity prices. BHP, Rio, South 32 and Fortescue in particular have really accounted for all of the gain. The banks are a little bit stronger, but we've seen weakness, a bit of weakness across the rest of the market, particularly in real estate, telcos, and the tech sector's down. Zero's down almost 5% and Block down about 3.5%.
It may be quiet on the equities market generally today, but the bond market seeing a really big sell-off. How significant is this sell-off and what are the implications?
Well, at the moment, there's a big disconnect between the bond market and the equity markets globally, particularly in the US. Now, eventually, one of them is going to have to be proven right. If we do see continued falls in the bond market, namely interest rates rising, and particularly when we see real interest rates rising, that's got valuation implications for the equity market. At the moment, equity markets, particularly in the US, continue to be very strong on what is a wall of very cheap money, still very cheap money, but there are risks rising. And it's most unusual to have a disconnect as severe as we've been seeing. Some point in time, one of them is going to be proven right.
So, James, you know what I'm excited about is the budget tomorrow. Okay. So, as a stockbroker, though, does it excite you? And does it have the potential to move markets?
Ricardo, I can think of little that excites me more, frankly. Does it have the potential? Yes, of course it does. Is it likely? I really don't think so. This time round, there's nothing really that's been pre-announced in the budget that's going to move markets. A lot of the spending activities, big increases in defence, infrastructure and healthcare, really they're years away. So I think it's outside of the market scope. But what will be of interest is the very strong shape of the Australian economy. We've lost a lot of this in particularly a lot of the media reporting around the politicking heading up to an election. But the Australian economy has been one of the best performed economies through COVID in the developed world. We've got incredibly low unemployment. The economy's been growing at a rapid rate despite almost no population growth, and a lot of that for obvious reasons, closed borders and so forth, but we've sailed through it very well. There is a lot of debt, but at the moment with commodity prices so high, that debt looks to be able to be paid down a lot quicker than had previously been estimated. You recall last year Treasury had $50 iron ore prices, which is substantially lower, a lot less than half of the current price. And they should be conservative about it and announce a good miss rather than a negative miss. So I think the picture for the Australian economy is very good. We'll see that in the budget. I just don't think there's going to be anything that's announced that's really going to move markets a lot. So always fun to watch, but maybe not quite as exciting as previous budgets.
The budget, though, will be all inflation-based. Everyone's talking about the cost of living and the rising cost of living. So how is the inflation story impacting the way you invest?
Not a lot, I have to say, because what I do when I look for companies to invest is to screen the market for a range of things, and one of the keys to that is debt. I've never liked companies with high debt. I look for companies with no or preferably low debt. Low or preferably no debt, because when we have inflation, interest rates follow. And companies with debt, of course, have got a much higher cost, but also it affects their valuation. I talked earlier when we were talking about the market about infrastructure stocks and real estate being sold down when we start seeing movements in the bond market. They're sectors you don't want to be in. You don't want to be in high PE companies because there's big valuation concerns. We've already seen a bit of a sell down in some of the high PE tech stocks in the US. But if we have rapidly rising inflation and interest rates that rise rapidly on the back of it, you know, we could be looking at another tech wreck similar to what happened at the turn of the century. The other thing that's really important is to look at companies that have got strong economic moats that give management pricing power. If you've got an inflationary environment, you do not want to have companies that management have to have a prayer meeting to be able to put up prices to cover rising costs.
James Rosenberg there from ELNC Value.
This SBS On The Money podcast is provided for informational purposes only. content on this podcast should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice and does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.